Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
I should not be allowed to have so much fun on a Friday. That was a really good time talking with Dr. Edward Faeser last hour about God. And this hour, one of my favorite people is here along with Rose Sweet. Oh, no, wait, that didn't come out
oh,
right.
Man.
Sorry.
That's two.
Two
they
smart
didn't hear
Alec
the
things.
First one. Yeah.
No, and please don't repeat it. I'm super happy you're here, Rose. How the church helps you find happiness is our topic this hour. We're going to talk all about happiness for a whole hour, and it's a serious topic, and we'll talk about why it's a serious topic in a minute. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And we're wondering, are you happy and would you like to be happy? And if you're Catholic, are you even supposed to be happy? Is that allowed for Catholics? Does the church care if you're happy? These are all reasonable questions. I think the answer is probably yes, but we're going to get Rose to answer those questions. Give us a call if you have a question for Rose, 888-318-7884. Our guest, Rose Sweet, is a leading expert in pastoral issues surrounding separation, divorce, annulment, remarriage, blended families, all of those things. Author of a whole bunch of books, Healing the Divorced Heart, a devotional, a very popular one, and Rebuilding After Divorce, How to Make Your House a Home Again from St. Benedict Press. And then you made that famous DVD series that is used all over the country and for families recovering from divorces.
16 countries now.
16 countries? Mm-hmm. Wow. What's that? Divorce Survival Guide, but you renamed it, right?
It's called Surviving Divorce now.
Surviving Divorce.
A little shorter.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us, Rose.
Thanks for having me.
And you have you have a wide horizon of things that we could talk about with you. And you're very, you know, a wholesome Catholic person with all kinds of things to talk about. Why happiness? Why do you want to talk to people about happiness today?
Well, everything, this whole body of work, like you said, that we could talk about, everything boils down to happiness. It really does. Everything that we do, everything that we say, the clothes that we put on every morning, the car that we get into, every choice that we make is so that we'll be happy, whether we're aware of it or not. So happiness is foundational. And it's not just me that says this.
No, I know you have some saint, but I want to read a saint quote to you first.
Okay.
From St. John Vianney,
okay.
The Curia of Ars. St. John Vianney wrote, "Oh, how senseless we are. The good God calls us to him and we fly from him. He wishes to make us happy and we will not have his happiness." That's a striking thing for a saint to say.
Well, when you think about it, look at your family. Mom just wants you to be safe and healthy and happy. But she wants you to go to bed early, and she has all these rules, and she's going to make you eat vegetables.
Right.
So here's a perfect example in the family. You take a saint quote and bring it right down to our real lives.
Yeah.
Parents are trying to make their children happy in the long run, true happiness. But that involves pulling them away from all their distractions to things of higher order. And there's a resistance there. So, you know, we're all like little children in that regard. We're not mature enough to see what really will make us happy.
You have to kind of have some trust, though, that God wants you to be happy. I mean, it's easy to think of God as kind of demanding stuff from you or having all these, you know, all these moral kind of commands and being scary.
Well,
you know,
that's the attitude a lot of people have about the church in general. Talk about our mother, and it is our Blessed Mother's birthday today.
Oh, today? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Feast of the Nativity of Mary.
Yes.
That means it's her birthday. Yeah.
That's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay, I've put it together now. Thanks, Rose.
And like a loving mother, we don't trust our parents want us to be happy.
Yeah.
We think our parents have an agenda or they're old fuddy-duddies and they just don't understand. So yes, there is a lack of trust, and we do that with God too. We don't trust the church. We don't trust God. Because we think we're really the only ones who know what will make us happy, and nobody else really will.
What about the person who says this, Rose? Okay, I do think God wants me to be happy, and I do think the church wants me to be happy, but not necessarily in this life. It's all about eternal happiness, not about happiness here?
That, well, you know, it's a, that's just that short-sighted, self-centered attitude is, again, and that's a lack of trust. Yeah, mom and dad want to send me off to college. I know that.
Right.
But right now, I want to watch TV, and it's 10 o'clock, and they're making me go to bed, and I don't get it.
I see.
So
yeah.
I almost don't care about college and all those wonderful things that mom and dad have promised me. I want the right here and now. That's what will make me happy.
But does that, okay, so, but say I change my orientation and I get on this eternal horizon and I say, yes, that's the happiness I want, the blessedness of being with God. Does that change my happiness here and now? Does that have any?
It should.
It should really? Should take it away?
I mean, No. Okay, so here, then we're going to talk about this a little bit later.
Okay.
The philosophers, Aristotle was the first one that we know that coined the four levels of desire, the four levels of happiness that man goes through.
Okay.
And none of the levels are bad, but the problem is when we make the lower order of happiness, the donut, more important to us than God, who's the highest level of happiness.
Oh, you had to say donut.
I know.
What? Come on.
I love donuts. You do too?
Oh, come, please just look at me, Rose. You know I love donuts.
Well, we have a bond then because chocolate cake.
Yeah. Okay, stop. It's Friday afternoon. I'm just going to leave you and go to the refrigerator.
Okay. So, and that's a beautiful thing I love about the Catholic faith is that the church has always said, enjoy donuts, enjoy things, enjoy all the lower levels of happiness, receive them as blessings from God and let them point you higher to he being the fulfillment of everything.
Right.
But don't get them out of order to where you got to have the donut. Or you got to have this, or you got to have the marriage, or you got to have the car, or the house, and then you turn God into a vending machine to get you those things.
Well, maybe that's connected to. I was reading an article in the Atlantic recently about people in Silicon Valley not really being happy, and they there's a lot of unhappy. I'm not saying nobody there is, but they have everything. Like they have these lovely places to live and these beautiful campuses to work on, but they're not happy.
And they're, of course, because there's still something else that the human heart desires. And I think C.S. Lewis is the one that said this. Have you heard this quote? That if there is something that is not in this world, that you still have a desire for something that nothing in this world can satisfy, then there must be something outside this world that can satisfy it.
Yeah.
And that's God himself. But here's the thing, go back to the lack of trust. So I'm in Silicon Valley and I got the house and the car and the stiletto heels that...
Right.
You know.
But that's another thing we share. I love my stiletto heels.
Oh, you do?
No, that's not really true. I prefer the donuts.
So we're both in Silicon Valley. We have everything we want. But there's this gnawing, what is this all there is? What else is there?
Yeah.
And so if we don't trust that there's something else higher or better, or we don't want to do the work, or we're afraid that we'll lose this if we go out in search of that.
That's the one right there. Yeah. Fear of losing things.
Then we turn back down and we eat more, drink more, work more, make more money.
Right.
And those are beautiful goods that God allows us to have, but they've become our God.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Our guest today, Rose Sweet. Our topic, your happiness. That is, and the church's gifts, I guess, are at your disposal to make you happy. Is that right? Would that be right to
say
it that way?
Well, I'm the first to testify to that because I spent all of my life looking for happiness, and I identified it very early on that I would be supremely happy forever if I had a husband, a home, and a dozen kids.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a cute home with a white picket fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I set that in my mind, and then everything that I did and thought and pursued was toward that end. And I made a big mess out of my life. I used people. I hurt people. I was used. I was hurt. I ignored the church's teachings. I ignored mom and dad.
Right.
I thought the church. Now, I loved Jesus and Mary. They were really nice. I learned about them in kindergarten and first grade. And they were really nice and benevolent. But everybody else didn't understand me, didn't want my happiness, and was trying to make me miserable.
Right. There does seem to be this quality of we put God off. I'm not putting you off forever, but right now I got a project I'm working on. That's called my life, and I'm going to make it into this happy thing, and I'll get back to you once I've handled that.
Exactly.
And that's a trap.
It is exactly right. That's okay. So, and we know this, anybody who's married knows that you, who should come first in the family? Your spouse, right? But if your wife is saying, Sigh, honey, we need to talk. That, right, honey, I need to go to the garage and work on this. And
right.
I'm going to go help the kids here, and I got to go meet somebody over here. And when you keep putting her last, it doesn't mean you don't love her. It doesn't mean you don't want to help make her happy. But right now, you are putting other things ahead of her. And when we do that with God, we're in big trouble.
So you're saying I should talk with my wife. I learn something from you every time, Rose. We have to take a quick break. I know you got some saint quotes for me on happiness, and lines are starting to fill up. If you have questions or comments about the church's desire for you to be happy and the treasures that the church has to help you to be happy, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet, our guest. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clearer witness to the gospel. St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest this hour, How the Church Helps You Find Happiness. Our topic, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. You want to give me a saint quote? Or do you want me to go to a call first? Because
Here's the quote. Yeah. This is from St. Augustine. True happiness is to rejoice in the truth. For to rejoice in the truth is to rejoice in you, O God, who are the truth. Those who look elsewhere do not find true joy. And I was telling you earlier, Catholic Answers is not here to shove Catholic dogma down anybody's throat. You're here to help people find the fullness of the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you have the truth, then you will be
happy. At least according to St. Augustine, right?
Exactly.
I want to confess something to you. If we could shove dogma down people's throats, we would. I mean, frankly, but
The dogma lives loudly in me. That's all I got to say.
Okay. No, we probably wouldn't do that. We'd probably, because Jesus didn't do that. You can't.
No, he didn't.
No. Right. Teresa in Long Island, or on Long Island, New York, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Your question for Rose Sweet.
Yes. Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello. The reason for my call today is, it's kind of hard to explain. I am married, remarried. I was never married in the church. However, my husband was married in the church. I've been with my husband now for 23 years. Someone's trying to call me. I apologize. And this man and I met through the grace of God. I truly believe that. I am, I think the phrase is cradle Catholic. I wasn't sure what that meant. I listened to EWTN a lot. I guess that means you were born into the Catholic faith.
Right,
and went
yeah.
to Catholic schooling. And, okay, so that I am. And I had a wonderful education and a difficult growing up. In any case, I met this man 23 years ago, and he makes me so wonderfully happy. However, we talk about his obtaining an annulment. And at this point in time, we talk about it, and I just don't see how it's going to happen because of the state of his wife's mental state.
Okay.
And at this time, I recently started scripture reading. I'm involved in the Bible. I've truly found my faith again, refound it, learned it. I sing with joy when I'm in my scripture. And I am living in mortal sin.
Okay.
You can't be happy.
Okay, Teresa, thank you for your courage for calling. And first, I'm going to answer you on the radio in the short time that we have today. But I also want you to call me and contact me through rosesweet.com because I want to help you later. Because this is not an easy, quick situation. First of all, good for you that you're striving for deeper holiness, that you are going to the church. And you are reading scripture and you're aware of your sinfulness. We're all sinners. We all fall short. What you have to do is grab your husband and sit down and ask him if he's willing to go with you through a journey of going higher together and opening yourselves up to all the graces that God has for you through the church. And if you need somebody to talk to him and, you know, with him, maybe a wise and holy priest at your parish, or I'll be happy to help. But you explain to him that since you are not, your marriage is not recognized in the church until his original attempt at marriage or valid marriage is taken care of, you may not live as a married couple. So that means living as brother and sister. That means no sexual intimacy. Is it impossible to do? No, it's not. Is it hard? It can be. But I know many, many couples, once their eyes were opened, and their hearts hungered for deeper happiness and all the graces that God has, they made the decision to live as brother and sister. And guess what? They fell more deeply in love. They had increased trust between the two of them. And they were helping each other carry a cross. And that is true happiness. So I want to help you guys get there. It's a long but short answer at the same time. But Teresa, God love you, and please contact me.
Can you do that, Teresa?
Yes, absolutely.
Rosesweet.com, right?
That's
okay.
Right.
Teresa, thank you so much for that call. I think that's another thing about what the church teaches. Okay, so you look at a certain teaching and you say, I'm going to lose something if I follow that teaching, even though I know I should be following that teaching. And many people then turn out to be surprised by the happiness that comes.
Well,
they're like, okay, I'll do it. I know I'll be miserable, but I'll do it. But then they're surprised by the happiness.
Right. It starts in the will sometimes, and the emotions will kick and fight and scream. But, you know, you're in charge, and you know, it's like losing weight or putting that donut down.
Would you please stop with the donut?
And then you're surprised when you look in the mirror and you're so slim. See?
I haven't had that surprise yet, Rose. I'm looking forward to the day that I have that surprise. Roy in Ohio, Ray in Ohio, please save me from Rose. What's your question for her?
I wonder how she got so smart. She wasn't that smart when I first met her. Okay.
Oh, no. Call screener.
How did you
fired.
Let this call through?
You are fired for letting this guy through.
Do you know his last name, Ray?
Dr. Ray Guarendi?
Yes. Now it's dawning on her who she put through. Dr. Ray, how are you?
Si, I got to tell you, Rose with the donut analogy.
Here we go.
I had her on the show once, and she took down 13 donuts before we went to the first grade.
I want to believe you.
Ray, it was 15, and you need to go to confession, man.
No, it's a mortal sin after 30. the 30. You look it up in canon law.
Okay. I see that Dr. Ray has a question here. The call screener says, how can I find true happiness if I don't like me? Well, we know why you don't like yourself.
Well, I get a bad feedback. Yes, I know. But that is a question, Rose. Help us out here. If I don't like me at all,
yes.
What do I do?
You reach out to the closest friend who has some little shred of liking you, and you grab onto them, and you spend some time, and you start at the beginning. Or if you believe in God, you call out and say, Lord, I need help. When somebody doesn't like themselves, Dr. Ray, you know that. They've been deeply damaged and wounded, and they've believed a lot of lies. So got to reach out where you can.
Now, I feel like now because we have Dr. Ray here, we have to ask Dr. Ray what his answer to that question is, because he's Dr. Ray.
Well, let's hear it.
All right.
This is Rose's show. I'm not stepping in.
No, you step in right now or you're in big
trouble.
Well,
two things about that. First of all, we're not paying Rose either. You just found that out. And Dr. Ray, you can have your own hour. You know, you're welcome to come on Catholic Answers Live anytime you want.
I met Rose. Rose, how many years ago was it?
Too long ago to remember.
But we did that at the time, Catholic Divorce Survival Guide, and I was a little upset because I got 22 seconds. I interviewed for 6 hours, and they gave me 22 seconds, Si.
You know what? We still have that footage. It's on the floor of the cutting room, but that's okay. We still have it. We still have it.
It was 22 of the best seconds recorded.
I'm going to make a little plug right here. Dr. Ray is one of the most beloved people in our video series, Surviving Divorce. He is funny. He's compassionate. And he delivers the truth of the church teachings in a wonderful way. So, again, thank you for that, Dr. Ray.
Rose, next time you come to town, donuts on me.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm bringing Cy.
Can I come to town? Yeah. Donuts. Man, you're talking my language right there.
How nice it is to be with you guys. Rose, you are a delight, and I cherish the day we met, and we keep having contact, even though we live a continent apart.
Thank you. I feel the same about you.
And Dr. Ray, thank you very much for that call.
You're welcome, Cy. I'll talk to you guys. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was a surprise.
Was that a surprise?
Yeah.
That's very, very nice. I do think when we talk about the church making us happy, when you speak with someone like Dr. Ray, when I speak with someone like you, older people. No, I don't mean that. I mean, sorry, Rose.
This is going downhill.
No,
fast.
I mean people who have devoted themselves to the teaching of the church and to sharing with other people, it does give you a lightness. It gives there's a brightness about it.
Okay, and there's the joy that we're talking about because you found the truth. It's about owning the truth.
Margot from Naperville, Illinois on Facebook asks the following question, Rose. What's the difference between happiness and joy? I give you that one because you just used the word joy. I thought it was a cut and paste question. Sorry, I've done this before. When someone calls from Facebook, I think it's they type the question in. But Margo, we have you on the line, so you can ask Rose your question.
Ty, you're in so much trouble.
I know.
Believe me, I just talked to Dr. Ray. I know the kind of trouble I'm in.
I cannot believe I'm following Dr. Ray, but I'm feeling kind of intimidated now. But hi, Rose.
Hi, Margo.
I'm so excited. So excited to see you guys in just 19 days, but who's counting? By the way, everyone should come to the conference. Everyone should go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and sign up.
Yeah, I agree.
My question, though, is what is the difference between happiness and joy? Is there a difference?
Happiness is one donut. Joy is a baker's dozen.
It's all going to come back
next
to donuts
question?
Today.
No, I don't. It's the theme. No, you know what, Margo? That's a great question. And we know a lot of us have heard this answer that happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes and it can be temporary. But joy is deep and grounded and unending. And joy is really rooted in the truth. You know, remember Jesus said to his disciples, this is in the Gospel of John, I came so that your joy would be complete.
Yes, right, right.
And that indicates a progression that there's can be partial happiness or temporary happiness, but he wants joy that is complete. And again, that comes from the truth. And he is the truth and the way and the life. And that's where we find joy. Good question, Margo.
Does that help you, Margo? Does that?
Yeah, that helps. And I'm just so excited to see you guys. And sorry, you're in trouble, but
yeah.
I Well, I was going to say I'm not afraid of you, Margo, but I actually am kind of afraid of you. So thanks for calling, Margo, and look forward to seeing you at the conference. And thank you for making a little advertisement for the conference as well, September 28th through 30th, right here in beautiful, sunny San Diego. We will have our national conference. You can find out more about it by going to CatholicAnswersConference.com. And I believe, Rose, you'll be hanging out with us there. Is that correct?
I love the conference. It's very well organized. It's always a beautiful venue, and the speakers are excellent. And you get a chance to meet the speakers, talk with the speakers. There's Q&A, lovely meals with wine. It's wonderful.
And I think, for me, the conference is one of the first places that I got to tell you that I'm your biggest fan.
You did. And I remember that.
Yeah, I was so happy that
I
ran into you there.
I loved you after that.
Well,
I did.
And my love has not diminished, Rose. Maybe yours has diminished.
My love for you is complete.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty good. We'll be right back with more on happiness and the church, how the church helps you with happiness, on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
How do we know Jesus founded a visible, organized church? Is today's Catholic Church the same as the Church of the Apostles and the early Christians? What can I say to someone who claims the medieval church became corrupted by pagan ideas and practices? In 20 Answers, The Church, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you to understand how the church Jesus founded is able to carry on through history his mission of teaching and sanctifying his followers. 20 Answers, The Church is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world. All in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press. We've all heard the words at the end of Mass:
"Go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord."
But how exactly are you to do that? In his new book, The Old Evangelization: How to Spread the Faith Like Jesus Did, apologist Eric Sammons takes you back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did when he preached the good news and drawing out the lessons he taught us. All evangelization begins with a personal encounter, and so Sammons examines Jesus' most instructive gospel encounters and discovers within each a particular truth that even 2,000 years later can help us make new disciples. Evangelization is not an option, but Christ's express command. What better way to answer this call than by imitating his supreme example? Order your copy of The Old Evangelization today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Now is the time to make your plans for the 2017 EWTN Family Celebration. September 9th and 10th are the dates, and Worcester, Massachusetts is the place for our celebration of 100 years of Fatima. This is your chance to meet your favorite Catholic TV and radio hosts. We'll have Holy Mass and Confession, Family Corner, and you can shop for Holy Reminders at EWTN Religious Catalog. For more information, go to EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to be spending an afternoon with Rose Sweet, one of my favorite people in the world. And Rose, you have dedicated your life to leading people to the happiness that the church intends for them. And so I'm glad we get to talk about happiness today, how the church helps you find happiness. 888-318-7884. Our number, if you'd like to talk about happiness with Rose, 888-318-7884. We go now to Ruth in La Crosse, Louisiana, listening on 690 AM. Ruth, your question for Rose.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Rose. Yeah.
Ruth.
Ruth, I'm sorry. Yeah, we can hear Rose too. But
people call me Ruth.
Two
all the
R
time.
Words. Sorry about that, Ruth.
That's okay. My question has to do with some years ago, I was watching EWTN, and this was right after Mother Angelica had her first stroke, and she was talking about having the stroke, and she said, as she was falling, she said, "Jesus, please let me save one more soul." And she said, "Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls." I'd want to know, is this Orthodox? I mean, it would make me very happy if I thought I was saving souls, especially my loved ones.
Well, the church teaches that we can cooperate with God. God's the one who saves our souls with our cooperation. And even our cooperation comes with His grace. It's because of His grace. But we can certainly join in that work, and we can pray for people and say, Lord, send your graces upon the soul who needs it. You can name a soul. You can leave it up to Him to choose. But you can offer your love and your prayers and your sacrifices in His work. You join Him in His work. That's how it works. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm aware of that, but she made it sound like saying, Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls, actually saves a soul. And I just wondered if that was Orthodox or not.
No, the church doesn't teach that, but I know Mother Angelica would not have said anything that was contradictory to church teaching, so it must not have been very clear. But I do know you can't just say a magic formula and all of a sudden somebody's saved. It doesn't work that way. But you can, you know, and here's the good news, and here's something that should make us happy, is we can offer sacrifice and offer prayers to our Lord to be applied to the work of salvation of a person.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, and God bless you all.
God bless
thank
you,
Ruth. Thank you, Ruth, very, very much. 888-318-7884, the number. How the Church Helps You Find Happiness is our topic today. Rose Sweet, our guest, 888-31-TRUTH, that number again. And Rose, you had some, did you have more, was it saint quotes you wanted to share with me or
It was the one from St. Augustine, and then I wanted to, you know, remind what Jesus said to His disciples in the Gospel of John. You know, He wants our joy to be complete.
Right, right.
So He understands that we're made for joy, we're made for happiness, and that we're all seeking it the best we can, but that because of our sin nature and our immaturity and all the weaknesses that we have, we can miss the mark. Mm-hmm. And we can miss the happiness that He wants us to have. So that's why He founded His church and all the things that we have today to help us find our way to happiness that lasts, to the happiness that is complete. You know, otherwise, we could lose our way. I certainly did that. And I'm a cradle Catholic, had all the Catholic education, loved Jesus and Mary, but was bound and determined to run my own life because I was trying to be happy on my own terms. And I ended up miserable. And I hurt a lot of people along the way. And it wasn't until my desire for something greater, for true happiness, finally made me throw myself on the bed, as it were. I'll never forget the moment. And I said, Lord, obviously everything that I've been doing hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
Take me and do with me what you will. I don't even know what that means, but just take me. I'm done. And I know it was at that very moment where the Holy Spirit rushed in and began to work on my mind, my heart, and my soul.
Right.
And I had this drive to go back to the church and find out, why am I Catholic? Why do I believe this? Why does the church say this? And this was my pursuit of truth because it was my pursuit of happiness.
A caller called and asked a question, didn't stay on the line, but asked a question. And this is connected to what you're saying right there. So I want to share it with you. Are the rules, Catholic dogma, really important? Or do we just follow our heart and do what we love? Knowing and following the church, the Catholic Church, truly makes me happy. It is something I love. How do you make sense of that?
Well, here's a good example.
Yeah.
I live in the Palm Desert area, about two and a half hours from here. And I drove over here to be here today through horrendous traffic. And I'm going 75 miles an hour, right? In a 70. Okay, that's a venial sin, right?
Is that?
Yeah. Okay.
I sometimes think it might not even be a sin because everyone else is doing it, and it might be unsafe if you didn't.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. Is that what they call Jesuitical?
That's exactly. Okay, but everybody else around me is going 90. I'm not exaggerating.
Should have been going 90 then.
Okay, 80 to 90.
No, okay. Maybe not.
And I was thinking of this.
Yeah.
The only reason we can all go 80 or 90 and go fast and feel safe
Yeah.
is because there are boundaries, rules, regulations, guidelines. There are painted stripes. Yeah. You cannot go outside that line. You must stop this. So the red light here. We are we can say, oh, we're constricted by all these rules, or we can see that the dogma and the doctrine and the rules give us the freedom to go fast and to feel safe in life, to go after what we want, to find the happiness that we want.
Right.
Right?
Right, yeah. And when there's if there are no boundaries, if there are no rules, if there aren't, then we're just crashing into one another. We're making a mess of everything.
In the 70s, I went over the border, and I was driving around in Tijuana. And I'll never forget it. It scared the heck out of me because there were no lines. There were no stoplights, anything. Yeah. And I was scared and I slowed down and I'm, you know, looking around like this and like horns are honking. And I was like, get me out of here. But you put some boundaries in there, put some rules and regulations. I felt I would feel happier and I could go faster.
Right. Tijuana in the 70s, it was a little bit Wild West there. It was, you know, it is almost bad driving there as it is driving in Boston today.
Oh, like I've never driven in Boston.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Yeah, yeah. Well, all the other people driving are Bostonians, so they'll just drive over you. I say that as one of them. Again, 888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. I do think this, though, when I hear you speak the way you're speaking about God's intention for us to be happy and to enjoy the goods of this world and to enjoy them in an integrated way so that we're still looking forward to the goods of the next world primarily. How does any of that match up with Jesus saying, take up your cross each day and follow me?
Oh, good question.
Really? I had one.
So let's talk about the four basic levels of happiness. And the first level is things in the created world, the food, clothing, shelter, cars, games, toys, anything that even a beautiful sunset and music. Things outside ourselves make us happy. When we enjoy them, we master them, we like them, right? But the next highest level of happiness is ego satisfaction. It has to do with the self. Now, if I like beautiful music, but now I learn to play it myself and I master an instrument, I'm even happier when I can create, you know? And so there's ego involved in the second level of happiness. The third level of happiness is other people, okay? So now let's say I always wanted that violin. Level number one, I get the violin. Number two, I'm even happier because now I learned to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Okay.
The next highest level of happiness is I play for free at a concert where I could have got a $10,000 fee for orphans to do some greater good. I sacrifice. Oh, even though I could really use the money, or I even give away that violin to somebody who has none. So I even go higher in happiness. There's a richer, deeper happiness. When it's for other people, it always involves sacrifice. It's giving up my happiness and the things that I own, or I possess, or I control for the greater good of another. And the more it hurts me, not to be codependent or a victim, but I freely choose to carry that cross so that somebody else can live or somebody else can have pleasure or joy or safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's a happiness nobody can take away from you. But that only usually comes through the carrying of the cross. And it's Jesus who shows us these steps, higher steps to happiness. The highest level of happiness is union with God. So we start with things, then self, then others, but ultimately union and holy communion forever with God is what we all desire.
Yeah.
It's what we're all made for. We can taste a little bit of that here on this earth, but we will completely in heaven. So there you go. There's the four levels of happiness.
Yeah. And right.
The sad thing is,
it doesn't stop at the cross. I'm glad to hear that.
No, it doesn't stop at the cross because, you know, Jesus, there was a level of joy that Jesus had even on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a freedom of self-giving. Otherwise, it's slavery. You know, cruelty to just somebody say, you need to go to the cross to save your wife, you know. And if you're just doing it because you don't want to get beat to death you are going to get beat to death. That's a bad analogy. But there has to be a freedom where we give up something that we have for another.
I would go to the cross to save my wife. I'm just saying that because she's probably listening right now. So
Well, you know,
I'm trying to gain some points.
I know, you know, I think
I hope
that's true.
I would.
I think, okay, but then on the day-to-day basis, I say that to myself about my husband all the time, but when I'm short and snippy with him and I won't give him certain things.
Right. That's right.
I refuse to go to the cross because I want to be happy.
Yeah. As you can imagine, I am never short and snippy. I'm always a delight to live with.
I know. I know. She told me.
She did not. We'll be right back with more on happiness with Rose Sweet right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 1, we have a genealogy ending with St. Joseph and avoiding any mention of his begetting Jesus. Joseph offers legal paternity, but it is Mary, his betrothed, who begot Jesus. He remained the intimate guardian, teacher, and observer. The parent in the fullest sense is Mary, whose true spouse is God, the Holy Spirit. No other human being has ever been so honored. To say that Catholics overhonor her is to completely disregard the reality of her divine espousal and parenthood. The triune God has honored her far beyond anything Catholics can do. Nevertheless, we do honor her, precisely because of God's direct and unique intervention in her life. Such honor is in response to his deliberate choice and is a mere echo of it. Today we honor the birth of this very special woman. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Final segment of the week, Rose. You better bring it. You better be on your A game. Final segment.
Let's do it together.
Okay, together we will do that. 888-318-7884, our number. How the Church Helps You Find Happiness, our topic with Rose Sweet, our guest. And we go to Thomas in Norwood, Massachusetts, listening on EWTN. I'm sorry, Thomas, that I said things that might be construed as insulting to people from Massachusetts earlier. I hope you didn't hear them.
Oh, I'm sorry. But if you want to hear my question, I happen to be a very happy man right now.
Because?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, Thomas. I'm sorry I was listening. So you happen to be a very happy man right now, and that is because?
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because I started reading about my lineage, where my descendants went right back to Jerusalem, and they were actually friends of the Holy Family. Right,
and so you were gonna that made you happy finding that out.
Well, yes, we were very happy. We were actually one of the few of God's chosen people. I don't know what tribe we were, but I know that I've seen the Ten Commandments, and all the people in my line were actually murderers. So, committed murder, and yet they were forgiven because they well, they went through hell on earth. Actually, God punished them very severely.
Well, Thomas, let me ask you this, just because we're getting very close to the top of the hour. Are you saying that it's the forgiveness that brings happiness, or can you kind of put a bow on it for us?
Definitely.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thomas, I have to let Rose respond to that. Go ahead, Rose.
Well, it sounds like when we discover that we belong to something that we're proud to belong to, a group, a community, a family, a people, that it makes us feel safe, secure, loved, and that we have value and worth. And that's a happiness. That is level two happiness. That's about the self and the ego. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's you did a good job. You belong to this family. You
right.
are loved. It's a beautiful thing. And that's certainly one of the ways that God wants us to experience happiness, especially since we belong to his family.
Let me ask you this, though. Thomas, thank you very, very much for that call. When you talk about the levels of happiness, and one of them is the other, it seems to me we might have a problem with the other today because the other is an opportunity for me to gratify myself. That we've become to that point in our society.
That's true. When we think sometimes in relationships, and this is what I do especially with people who have broken relationships, the level three happiness where we sacrifice for another person, we usually only do that a lot of the times so we can get something in return. And when that happens, we're really reducing that person to a thing to get us something that we want. In
right.
other words, I feel good about myself. I'm a good mother. I'm a good father. I'm a good spouse. I'm a good Catholic. And that's really level two. We're stuck in level two happiness. It's about ego satisfaction.
I see.
So if my children are happy with me and, you're the best mom ever because I just gave them all of this stuff, maybe I didn't sacrifice for their greater good. It wasn't level three at all.
Yeah.
I was conditioning them to feed my ego. And sometimes it's a mixed bag. Sometimes it's a genuine giving mixed with a little bit of ego grab.
Well, that's the human condition.
It is the human condition.
That we have generally mixed motives.
Exactly. And that's why we need grace to help purify that.
Yeah.
And because then if we purify it, we'll be even happier.
Yeah. So what if I'm the person who is just looking for that? It almost seems like you're saying that I shouldn't be that person who's just looking for that ideal other person to make me happy. We see that as a kind of a romantic ideal. The Hollywood ideal is that other person's going to come along and that's going to make happiness happen.
Right.
What's the problem with that?
The problem is that we're stuck in that level two because it's all about me. Level two is the self and the ego gratification. And how do I compare and how do I rate? And am I safe, secure, loved? And do all the things or all the people around me make me feel that way? So it's very self-centered. And when we use other people or bring them down, that's sin. And that happiness doesn't last.
Right. That's the nature of sin. It's a temporary kind of like scratching an itch.
Okay, but even if you go to commit sin, you're motivated by pursuit of happiness. You think that if you steal that money from the bank and you're holding that money in your hand, you'll be
happy. Yeah.
Right. So even sin is motivated by some twisted desire for happiness.
Can you give me a person listening or watching on Facebook wants to know about the difference between peace and happiness, that Jesus said peace, not happiness, be with you.
In that particular verse, he said, peace be with you. But he also said, I want your joy to be complete. So it's not just cherry picking a particular verse. Peace is a fruit of happiness or joy. Peace, contentment, kindness, all the things that move out of us, they are fruits of that. Of the root. The root is joy. The root is love and truth and goodness and everything that is tapped into God himself. That's what makes us ultimately happy. And from that can come peace. But sometimes, let's say I'm in a difficult marriage and my husband is threatening to walk out and I know who I am as a Catholic woman and I have joy and I love God and I'm, filled with virtue or whatever, but I might not be at peace in a certain level in my emotions about my husband right now, but I can be at peace in my intellect because I know everything's going to work to good somehow. I just don't know what it is.
You're on a solid foundation.
I know God is there. I know He loves me. I know everything's going to be all right. But right now, my emotions, I don't feel peaceful in my emotions. But I do have peace in my soul, in my intellect.
So you've given us these kind of this framework of understanding happiness as these four stages of happiness, the highest being union with God. That's the happiness that we are intended for. And that doesn't eliminate the fact that God wants you to be happy in a material sense too, that God wants you to enjoy the world and to love this beautiful sunset.
Okay, exactly. And even in our sacramental theology, even the lower order, even things like oil and bread and wine can actually lead us to Him and even actually bring us into communion with Him.
Well, that's interesting you said that, because that's where I was going, is what's the practical thing or what's the practical path that the church recommends for my happiness then, to integrate all of that? How do I live then to have that happiness that the church proposes?
To listen to Christ. Jesus, God came down in the flesh in His Son to talk to us, show us, tell us about peace, tell us about joy, warn us, help us. He's here. Jesus' whole message is to help bring us to eternal happiness. This is deep, important stuff. And you're right. We need trust. We need to start with a church. The church has the answers.
There is, would you agree with me, there's a kind of an epidemic almost of unhappiness? It seems to me that it's not a happy world that we live in.
And why do you think that is, Cy?
My knee-jerk reaction, maybe this is the right reaction, is, well, if we've turned away from God. And that has social consequences. That's broken down the family. That's broken down all these things, the communities that we used to have, that used to be safe and enlivening. And all there's a deadness there. We've become isolated. We live in our homes watching television. We don't live out amongst one another. All of this has to do with having let go of God.
Okay, and even if we don't name it God or believe in God, anything that we would go higher or sacrifice for good truth and beauty, goodness, truth, and beauty, which is God,
yeah,
we've even let go of that. So our culture tends to be stuck in levels 1 and 2. Remember, level
right.
2 is me.
I get my ego satisfied.
Right?
I'm
going to use all my things around me to make me happy, and you might even be one of those things.
Yeah.
That we don't know how to sacrifice. So in other words, we've gotten rid of the cross, because that's love.
Yeah.
And love and the cross and all that stuff is what brings peace and joy.
Yeah, I guess we don't see it, but we've replaced the theology of the cross, the teaching of the cross, with a me, me, me.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
All
and
right.
So that's why when we see a crucifix in some churches, they don't want the corpus. They don't want Jesus on. They don't want a crucifix. They call it a cross.
Yeah.
But the crucifix is a sign of His greatest love for us, which made it possible for our greatest joy.
I think we have time for a very quick call before we end today. Daniel in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Rose.
Yeah, my question is, I thought that several saints, you could probably look this up online. I know there's books, and I think last caller was talking about it.
You got to be quick, caller. Sorry.
Okay. Our Lord said one single act of love can save a soul. Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls, that Mother Angelica was saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so in other words, Jesus does the work of salvation, but He's saying to you, if you will give me your little meager gift, your single prayer, I will put that in the pot, as it were, and that can actually help save that person. So again, Jesus does the work, but we contribute to it.
Does that help you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah.
So that is, when our good works, when something we do is a participation in God's saving action, it can, in fact, have a saving effect.
Right. We cooperated with Him.
Rose Sweet, I love spending Friday with you, but I also love spending Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Monday.
I just don't come near me on the weekends. All right, I'm busy on the weekends. Thanks, Rose Sweet.
Sai, thank you.
And thank you to all of our listeners. Go to Catholic Answers Focus if you want to listen to the Focus shows, too. I sometimes forget to mention that. Lots of good interviews there. And thanks to everybody in the booth. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, Nick, for an excellent week. And I would just remind you of this. Darren's not there. Oh, I should say thank you, Darren, but Darren's not sitting there behind the glass at the moment. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.